Jesus Christ, amen. In such a wonderful morning, I would just like us to just turn to our Bibles. Just as you know, the pastor is not around, so he has just asked me to stand in the gap. And then I know that wherever he is, God is working with him. And I believe that even this morning, as we're going to come here, share a few words, I'm just going to be a vessel, but he's going to be the speaker, amen. And then without a waste of time, I want us to open our scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. And I will read from the first verse. And then also we'll read also from Numbers chapter 13 and also Revelation chapter 3, amen. So we'll start with Hebrews chapter 11. And if we all found it, it reads this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God. Oh, sorry. Through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. We can just turn also to Numbers 13. We'll read from the 26th verse. And then if we've all found it, it reads this way. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with honey and milk, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which had been searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have come, gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Amen. We can just turn also to Revelation chapter 3. And then we'll read from the 14th verse. If we all found it. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And chasten, be zealous thereof and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come to him and I will sup with him and he with me. And then to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in the throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. We can just close our eyes and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you this morning, Father, for the opportunity that you've given us, Father, just to come into your service, Father, just to hear you speak to us, Father. We know, Father, that when we come here, Father, it doesn't matter what burdens we might be having, Father. Yes. Here in your house, Father, burdens are lifted. Yes. It is the same, Father, the song says, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Father, because when you die there in Calvary for us, Father, all our burdens, each and everything that may have diseases, Father, were cast aside, Father, and lifted, Father. That is why, as we are here, Father, I'm standing in front of your children, Father, we've just opened a few scriptures, Father. But we ask you, Father, to come as the author of this word, Father, to come and interpret it unto your children, Father. Yes. I'm not worthy, Father, to come and interpret it, Father, because I'm just a man, Father. Because your word needs a supernatural element, and that supernatural element, Father, it is you, Father. So as I'm standing here, Father, just use my lips, and Father, may you please cut anything, Father, that may not edify your children. Cut anything away, Father, that may not uplift them, Father. May you please just bring my mouth anything that will encourage them. Because, Father, we realize that we are in a battle, Father. Yes. We are at a battle front, Father. The only thing that is needed, Father, is for you to fortify us, Father, so that we may be able to go on into battle, Father, to go on and to conquer, to overcome. The only way, Father, we can be able to do that, Father, is if you are with us and you are leading us, Father. We pray, Father, that as long as we are here, Father, we have opened some scriptures, Father, may you please bless the reading of your word, Father. May you please make it life in our life, Father. We pray, believe in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We can have our seat. Amen. Once more, I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I just want us to share some few words today, Father. Amen. Just to have a talk. The topic that I want us to talk about is the revelation of thy faith. That is the revelation of your faith. The reason I want to speak on this topic is because as Christian, you will realize that each and every time we're at a battlefront, our life is a constant battle. Amen. So you realize that if you're a Christ, your life is all about overcoming. Overcoming the trials that may be set before you, each and every tribulation that may be set before you. Amen. So because our life is a constant battle, we will realize that it is a battle against good and evil. Amen. And then as a Christian, you need to take a stand and be on the side of good, because good is God. And amen. And then the evil is the devil. Understand? So these two, they cannot come and be one. All of the time when you are there, you will find that there will be a constant friction between them. Amen. So when I say the revelation of thy faith, what I mean is that you will realize that each and every time you are in battle, you reveal what is inside of you. The faith, the revelation of your faith is the revelation of your belief. This very essence of what you believe in. Amen. So each and every time you go out there into battle, that is what's going to be on display. That is what's going to be manifested and reflected. And then that will be your life, the fruits of your life. Amen. So you realize that each and every time you come here into church, that is not where you fight the battle. No. The battle is in out there, in your home, in your workplace. If you are a student at school, that is where you fight. When you come here into church, the only thing you come here for is for us to fortify you, to strengthen you, so that you may be ready for that battle. Amen. So when you come here, the only thing we do is to encourage you and edify you, so that when you go out there, sometimes it may happen that you go into battle. You might be wounded. You might be defeated. You might find that you are discouraged. That's the reason you come here, so that we will offer you words of encouragement, so that you'll be able to go on with this battle, which is the battle of life. Amen. So for me to be able to understand this, I'll give you an example of a soldier. You see, a soldier, there is an area there where they call it a barrack, a camp. That is where, when the battle is being started, that is where the soldiers will come and stay there, so that they will be, each and every time, each and everything that they will do from that barrack. Understand? The barrack is just a place where you'll find that, but you will find that they will be doing drills. Each and everything about the battle, plans about the battle, that is where they will be laid down there at the barracks. Understand? The barrack is like an area where a soldier will feel safe because there's no war there. Understand? So that is the same as church. That is how the barrack is. But the battle, you find that will take the troops, maybe with a helicopter or maybe with lorries, into battle from the barracks. You understand? So the barracks is where, if the soldiers are being wounded, they will be taken out of the battleground into the barracks to be patched, to be mended. Amen. And then to be set ready for what? For battle. That is what the barracks is for. Amen. So when they are there at the barracks, you find that they will have their resources replenished. That is the same as church. Your resources, when you come here, are always replenished. You'll find that if you have a gun, it will be safest. If your ammunition has run out, you will be given new ammunition, so that you may be able to continue with the battle that is being set in front of you. Amen. That is what the barracks are for. Now, if you are a soldier and you've been wounded, you will find that there at the barracks, there is an area, a small hospital there. You will go there, see a doctor, and then the doctor, they will come. If you have a wound, suture you. Maybe if you've been shot, you'll undergo an operation to take out the bullet out, because that is where the barracks is for. That is not where the battle takes place. So after you've been mended and you are ready, we set you out into battle. Now, that is what happens here at church. So you'll find that the revelation of your faith doesn't happen here. It happens out there. Here, if I can say you, all of us are Christian. Yeah. All of us are believers. But who you actually are is proven out there. Because that is where the battle has to be won. Now, when you go into war, I mean, sometimes you will win some battles. Now, when you have won a battle, you come back into the barracks. We come, we heap praises unto you, even give you medals. Now you'll realize that a soldier who stays in the barrack doing drills, marching, he doesn't get a medal. He does not get a crown. He's just in a safety zone, fortified area where the soldiers are supposed to come back. before battle or when something wrong has happened in battle, where they are supposed to replenish and be resourced. Now, a person who will get a crown is one who has gone into battle, won, and then come back with the spoils of victory. Then we come there and we say, here is a medal for you. Here is a crown for you. But where did you get the spoils of war? Out there. You understand? So that is where the battle rages. Amen. So you will realize that the only gallant soldiers are the one who going to get a crown or a medal, not a coward. You understand? So if you are a coward, you are already defeated. There will not be any crown for you. You understand? Now, that is why now I want us to speak about this topic. I just want to check something for you quickly. So now you will realize that spiritually, we have 7 battle lines. I think most of the believers will know what the 7 battle lines are. It is the battle that each and every church aid had to go through. Now, we are at the 7th one. But now you realize that with the 7 battle line, that is the battle that is fought in this church age, Laodicea. There are people who are still in the Laodicean church age, and there are those who has gone out beyond it. You understand? Gone beyond the camp. You understand? In the same battle. So now today, when I say a reveal of your faith, is where we're going to reveal and see where each one of us are. Are you beyond the church age? Now, when you go beyond the church ages, remember, if you remember the stage of a perfect man, we have the pyramid and there is a capstone. Now, with a capstone, that is where charity, love, Christ, that is where Christ is. Now, people who has believed the message have been moved up, taken up into the capstone to be there with Christ. Now, there are those who are still battling. Now, those ones are the ones who are still in the Laodicean church age. That is where the scriptures, Revelation 3, the one that we've just read, talks about. That one, it doesn't talk about a believer. It talks about a person who is still fighting to win a battle, to go into what? Into the capstone to be with Christ. Amen. So now you realize that before, 3 weeks ago, we talked about the same thing, faith. So that will be the same thing that we'll be looking at. We talked about faith and showed you that with faith, it is in the soul. That is where faith is found. But with the 3 realms of man, man is the triune being, where you find that you have the body, the spirit, and the soul. Now, if you remember some of the messages that I've heard, we have moved from the outside, the body, went into the soul. Now, that is where you find that last week we're talking about the faith as our victory. Now, we're looking at the soul as your position of victory. Now, you'll find that in the soul, that is where the inside man stays, the supernatural man, the celestial body, the logos, the theophany. That is where it stays. Now, in the soul, you'll find that there, that is where your victories are won. And I think we showed you that the last time. Amen. So you find that the inside man is the guidepost. He's the control tower of man. The same man that we see as we are looking at by grace. He has a man, another man inside of him, which is the supernatural man. Now, faith, the work of faith, actually, is to be able to take the inside man, fortify him, you understand, to be able to control the body, the outside man. Amen. Because the inside man, the reason we say that is because the inside man, where he is being built by what? By faith. Now you have the 7 virtues. We showed you 7 virtues, how faith being the foundation. And then you find out you have all the 7 virtues, the second one being virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, all those things being added onto what? Onto faith. to be able to fortify the inside man, to be able to make him a perfect man. That is why we say we're talking about the stature of a perfect man. You understand? You cannot be perfect until you have all of those. What is it? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and godliness, and what? Brotherly kindness. Now, that is what built up this inside man. You understand? Now, you realize that faith is actually the same as the Word of God. Faith is the Holy Spirit. You understand? Now, you find that the inside man is controlled by what? By the Holy Spirit. That is what controlled him. And then it is also controlled by what? By faith. Now, faith is not is a super sense. You understand? It's a sixth sense. Now, the reason why we have been given this super sense, I will just read you a quotation just in a little while, is because each and everything that is beyond the soul, that is the spirit, the body, has to be controlled from there. You understand? So, remember, in the body you have your five senses. The five senses have to yield to faith so that they can be controlled. The five senses are not supposed to control the inside man. You understand? They are not supposed to control the theophany, the logos that is inside of you. It is the faith, the sixth sense, that's supposed to go out there and go there and suppress all those senses. That is why when you are a child of God, you reflect. The person that you reflect is Christ himself, nobody else. Now, the reason now we are moving now from the soul is because if you realize in the spirit is where the mind is. You have memory, conscious, affection, imagination, and reasoning. Now you realize that the sixth sense controls all of those things. And that is why we say as a Christian, you must have what? The mind of Christ. But you cannot have the mind of Christ unless you have what? Faith. Your life is anchored in Christ. Unless you find that you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the mind of Christ unless you have his word. You understand? Because his word, remember, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. You understand? Now, if you have faith, that means you have God inside of you. And now, you remember now, you cannot believe the word unless you are the word. You understand? That is why we go back now into the Garden of Eden. When God wanted to make man, he said, let us create him in our own image. Now, what is the image of God? God is a spirit. That means the man that he created then was a spirit man. You understand? That is the man that he created there. Now, that man was an attribute of God. That means each and everything that God did, each and every element or each and every power that God possessed, that man, the spirit man that he created, had it. Amen. Amen. That is why now you find that he goes on and he says, there was no man to till the ground. The man that was supposed to till the ground is this body. So that is why they say he was made from the dust of the earth. God had created everything. He had created animals. That is why you find that if you look at an ape, the man, his hand is almost like an ape. You understand? Because that is just something that comes from the dust. But that was not the spirit man that God created. God then came and put the spirit man inside of that man that he created. And then the word of God says that man then became a living soul. You understand? And there was a bread of life in that man. You understand? Now, at that stage, that man was Adam. He had all the authority that you can have on earth. Because he was what? He was an attribute of God. He was part of God. Now, you will realize that when he was there, he could change the course of... God even gave him a duty. He said, you must name the animals. Now, how did God know that Adam was going to name the animals accordingly? You know, a lion is a lion. A lion cannot be an elephant. But because he was an attribute, a part of God, whatever God's mind was, Adam had it. That is why he could name those animals accordingly. You understand? Now, Adam had a choice. When we went there, they created a wife for Adam. And then God said to him, you can eat of all the trees that are found there in the garden. There was two trees there in the garden of Eden. There was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. So Adam had a choice to make. That choice was what? To follow God's word. Because he was what? He was the word. Now you will find that the woman who was created, he was not the original creation of God. That is why when Satan came into the Garden of Eden, he didn't go for Adam, because he will know that he was going to keep the power of God there. He was not going to survive. He went unto the woman and he asked her, yes, what did they say? Tell me about the garden. Then she said, they said, we should not eat of the tree that is found in the middle of the, that is found in the midst of the garden. The tree of good, knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Now, that is the commandment, but that's how it was. Now, the tree of life, it was the tree that they were supposed to feast on. Amen. Because that was Christ himself. That was what? Christ, Jesus Christ. That is what the tree of life was there in the Garden of Eden. Now, remember, as long as Adam feasted on that tree, he had eternal life. He was immortal. He had all the authority, and he had all the authority of God in him. The moment he forsook God's word and then partook in the other tree, that's when he lost his authority. Understand? Now, you will realize that the reason we've read all the scriptures is because now, because we are at Laodicean Church 8, we're actually there at the junction of it. We are almost at a junction of time. We are at the gates whereby one has to be transferred over from the Laodicean Church 8. Now, you'll realize that when Adam sinned, he and the wife, they were cast out of the garden. They were cast out, and then they were prevented from going back into the garden. So they were cast out, they moved out through the eastern gate. Now, after that, they had children. You remember, it was what? It was the children of Abel and Cain. When the two boys had grown up, they had to make a sacrifice. They went also into that gate, because as you realize, that is where the battle takes place. That is where the revelation of your faith is revealed. There where at the gates. You understand? That is why even you find that even with the children of Israel, as we've read them here, they were at the gate. They were at a border between the wilderness and what? And the promised land. That is where the revelation of their faith took place. Right there at the gates. You understand? Now, with these two boys, Cain and Abel, also they went out there into the gate of the eastern gate of the Garden of Eden. They made a sacrifice. Their sacrifice proved who they were. It revealed who they were. Cain came. He came with some, he was a gardener, a very good one at that. Abel was a shepherd. Now, when they had to make a sacrifice, Cain came with his fruits, put them there on the altar, burned them. Abel also came with a sheep, put it on the altar and burned it. Now, for you to make a sacrifice with a lamb, you had to slaughter it. That means there had to be a shedding of blood. Now, remember, when Adam and Eve were there at the garden, after they sinned, they realized something. They realized that they were naked. Now, if God leaves you, you are naked. Because God is one, his word is your covering. That is why now, as a bride, we realize that the bride is covered with what? With the word. And then as long as the bride is covered with the word, we'll find out the bride is safe. Now, when they went there, these two boys, let me just go back a bit. When Adam and Eve had sinned, God came and he slaughtered an animal. Now, that was the shedding of blood to forgive their sin. And then he covered them. Hallelujah. Then he did what? He sent them out. Amen. Now, Abel came, he did the same thing. That is why when we read in Hebrews 11, it said he had a revelation. Amen. The revelation that he had is the revelation to realize that whatever took place in the Garden of Eden, it was a blood. It has to do with blood. It has nothing to do with fruits or vegetables, which is the revelation that Cain had. So when he went there, he slaughtered a lamb. Then God accepted his sacrifice. And then he rejected the sacrifice of what? Of Cain. After he had done that, Cain became angry at his own brother. Now, the way I think it happened, if I can just give you a story, is because Cain went to Abel, and asked him, why is your sacrifice being accepted? Then Abel started preaching to Cain and said, the reason is because what happened there in the Garden of Eden, it was a contamination of blood. That means our bloodline was mad. Our bloodline was contaminated by what? By the seed of the evil one. That's what he told him. And then now remember, who was the evil one? It was his offspring was just sitting right next to Abel. That was Cain. Now, when he said that, he revealed who Cain was. Then Cain did what? He killed him. Killing him proved who Cain originally was. That was the revelation of Cain's faith when he went there and killed his brother. Remember, God cannot kill. God, what God does, God, he saves. If you are diseased, he heals you. If you are in pain, he gives you medicine to relieve your pain. But Cain, because he was of the evil one, what did he do? He inflicted death on his brother. He killed him because it revealed that he was the son of the evil one. Amen. So the revelation took place there at the gates. At the eastern gate of the Garden of Eden. That was the first revelation there of who was evil and who was good. Amen. And then after that, we find that there is a scripture that we've just read now where we find that the children of Israel are just there now at the borders between Canaan and the wilderness. Now, at those borders, the Moses sent the 12 spies. The 12 spies, each one of them was a ruler in the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So he sent them, one of the two that he sends, if you read before the scripture, if you read the verses before the one we've read, was Oshea, who was Joshua. Jehoshua, that is how Moses called him. And Joshua, that is the name that he was called. And then the other one was Caleb, and the other 12. Now they went through the southern part of the land into Canaan to explore the land, to see what the land was made of. To see if the land was, there were trees in the land, there were rivers in the land, so that when they enter, they will know the correct spot where to go to. Now, when they went there, there were some fruits of the land that it came with. When they were there, they feasted also on those fruits. There were grapes, big grapes, the kind that they've never seen, pomegranates, the kind that they've never seen. And then it was confirmed to them that that land, just as the word of God promised, that land flowed with milk and honey, just as the God has said. Now, they went in, and then they looked at the city, and they met the sons of the Anak. Those were three men, giants. Now, when they looked at them, they looked like grasshoppers. And even those giants realized that, no, these people, they are just small. Amen. So they went in through the land and then came back with a report. Now, in the land, they realized that also the cities were big. They were walled in and fortified. Now, when they came in there, they had to give the report to Moses, Aaron, and then the tribe of the children of Israel, who was waiting for a report so that they can enter into the land. Now, that is where the revelation of the believer took place. Whether who was a believer, who was a non-believer, who was a make-believer, everything took place there at the gates. Now, remember, when God took them out of the Garden of Eden, out of Egypt, and then he gave them a promise, the land that they had, they lived in Goshen. That was the best land in Egypt. Now, they came from a best land of Egypt to a place where they were now at a wilderness in a desert. Now, they had to make a choice. Now, that is why it was so easy for the children of Israel when they went into and came into a trial that they could say, why did you bring us here? Because they realized that they have left a good thing back where they come from. Because the Bible tells us that Goshen was next to the River Nile. It has it has the best irrigation system that they can have. So they feasted from what? From the fruits that came from the man-made systems that were there in Egypt. Now, God wanted to take them out of Egypt into a land that he himself will feed them. That means he will give them rain, the latter and the former rain, at its due season to feed them. Now, so that they will not be dependent on what? On the man-made system that they had in Egypt. Now, to take them out of there, he raised a Pharaoh. Now, the Bible says that this Pharaoh that he raised is a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. But I know you can understand, brethren, that there is nobody in Egypt that didn't know Joseph. Because Joseph was there in the history of Egypt. He actually saved the country from drought. He actually saved that country from being destroyed. Now he was there. They knew him. The only thing that this Pharaoh didn't know, he didn't know the promise that God had given to Joseph. You understand? That is the only thing that he didn't know. But he knew him. But that Pharaoh was used as a catalyst so that he can take the children of Israel out into where? Into a place where God had promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the reason why that Pharaoh was risen up. Amen. So now you will realize that as they were there, God, that Pharaoh, made everything hard for them so that they could not enjoy it. And then they started crying out unto the Lord so that he will send somebody to come and save them, take them out of this land. Even the children of Israel knew the promise that God has given them. Amen. So now, God took them out and then give plagues unto the people of Egypt, destroy them. Now, they went through the Red Sea. That signified that they went through baptism, just like the church would go. So now, the journey that the children of Israel took, it shows what a child of God or what the church of God has to go through. They have to come from what? Man-made systems, which is what? The denominational system, to go into what? Into a message. Now, there in the wilderness, the children of Israel had accepted the message because they have gone out of the denomination into a God's promised place, and then into a journey to go into the wilderness, into a place where God has promised you. Even the same as you now, you've gone out of those man-made systems, which you are dependent on, to go into a place where God has promised you, and you've come here. Now you are here in the message. Now in the message, that is where now you need to be translated over to go into the land that God has promised you. You understand? Now, that is why I say now we are at the junction of time. That is why now I'm saying now we are at the gates. Because now where we are as a church is those gates. You understand? So now, because you are here, you have to make a choice whether you will believe the word of God. Remember we said what? The inside man feast on what? On the word. And then because now he has faith. And remember, you cannot have faith unless you want, you hear the word of God. Because the word of God says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Now, when you are there at the gate, you had to believe the word of God so that you will be translated over into the land. You understand? You had to forsake the evil report. Now, remember, the word of God tells us those men, when they came with a report, it was an evil report. The reason it was evil, I mean, let's be honest, what they said was true. The son of Anak were giants. The areas, the places they were fortified, they had walls around them. That was the truth. The evil report is that they did not believe God's word when he says they must go there and possess that land. Now, that was the reveal there. That they are what? Unbelievers of God's word. And then now Cain, and then Caleb, when he went there, he said, he stilled the people. You know, a Caleb was a type of a believer. The kind of believers that we are. Remember, Cain, Caleb, he was the only one with Joshua, who was above 20, who went into what? The promised land. Because the others, because of unbelief, not believing the word of God, they were actually destroyed. You understand? In fact, when they said, we cannot go over there and possess the land, God wanted to destroy them right there and there. Destroy everybody. And raise a seed out of Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. Because they did want, they believed the word. But Moses pleaded with him. And then God would say, okay, for a truce, what I'm going to do is that everyone above the age of 20 will not enter into this land because they did not believe. The only Israel who went into the land were those who were below the age of 20. Those are the who were translated into that land. Amen. So now Caleb was a type of a believer. Now I went around and then I did some searching to find exactly who Caleb was. Now, even though Caleb was a ruler in the tribe of Judah, he actually was a Gentile. Because if you go there, you find that his father was Japhaniah, and then he was of the tribe of the Kenizzites. And the Kenizzites, if you trace them back, you will find that the Kenizzites were the descendant of Esau. Remember, Esau was the rejected one. The one who was accepted was his brother, Jacob. You understand? Now, who was he? This is a wonderful quote, a wonderful type of a believer, of us as Gentiles, that Israel rejected God, and then who? The Gentile accepted him to be one, his bride. Now, that was Caleb, that was what Caleb was. And then now, out of him, he came a wonderful believer. Remember, even if you go there and search what the name Caleb means, the name Caleb means a faithful dog. That is also a type of a Gentile. Remember what God, Jesus said. He said, I cannot give the food of the children to what? The dogs. And who was he referring to? He was referring to us Gentiles. Now here was a Gentile who had been adopted into the tribe of Judah. Adopted by Christ himself, who came there when everybody else. Now remember, when the children of Israel said, it is not possible for us to go there and possess this land. Caleb, not even Joshua. No. Caleb is the one who stood up and said, people, we can actually go there. We need to believe what God has said. We can actually go in there and possess this land. That was Caleb. Joshua was quiet. Yes, he believed, but he did not stand up. Now, who stood out? It was this Gentile, Caleb, who believed the word of God, who believed the promises of God, just like you have believed it as the bride of Christ. Now, when everybody said, we can't, he said, yes, we can. Amen. Hallelujah. We can go into that land and possess and feast on the promises that God had done for us, had given us there in that land. Remember, when they went there, they actually tasted the food of those 12 spies. All of them tasted the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. They tasted the food. Now, when they went into the border, those other 12 tribes, the taste of the food of the land actually left them. You know what was the taste? It was the word of God. The word of God actually left them. They forgot about it. But because Caleb was a believer, and as a believer, a believer one inside of him is the inside man, a theophany, a celestial body, the theophany, the logos, which was part of God. He believed the word of God. Understand? He never forgot the taste of the fruit of that land. He never forgot what he had tasted when he was there in that land. Hallelujah. So that one Caleb remembered. That taste could not leave him. The others, it was something that came, they came here. It's like even now, people come here in church, we preach. Preach the word of God. Then everybody goes home. A believer during the week will feast on the words that he has received here on the pulpit. Mara, a make-believer, he just comes into church. When he leaves that gate, he's forgotten what has taken place here. An unbeliever, the same thing. Hallelujah. So Caleb had a taste of the fruit of that land, had a taste of the word of God. And because he was part and parcel of that word, he did not forget what that word was all about, because it was part of him. Now he said to the children of Israel, we can go there and win the battle. Because he had faith in him, that is what he displayed there. He did not see the children of Anak, those giants. He saw beyond them. Now, the children of Anak showed an obstacle. You know, as a child of God, you may go through a situation, an obstacle. When you go through that situation, you do not be discouraged, because it's a trial. And remember, for us to be strengthened, for us to be built up, as the children of God, we have to go through trials and tribulation. It does not matter how hard they may be, God will make a way for you. Now, you might actually come and cry, God, this trial is too much for me. I cannot handle it. May you please let it pass. But now remember, if you ask God to make that trial pass, you know what he actually is going to do? He's going to give you another one. Another one. Until as his child, you overcome. Because remember, it is only the overcomers that will receive a crown. Not people who give in, not people who stop along the way, but people who take the whole journey, who goes through the whole process of being what? A child of God. Of going there and possessing the promises that God has given. Now, if you go there and say, this trial, I cannot enjoy it, God will come there, strengthen you. That's when now you come to church. We preach to you. Now you will hear messages like the technique of demons. Now, if there's a demon that is attacking you, when you listen to that message, it will actually tell you how demons work so that you may be able to conquer. You understand? Amen. Hallelujah. So that is why you come to church, to be strengthened, to be edified, to be uplifted, so that the wounds that you came in with may be patched and you might be ready for the next battle. Yes. Hallelujah. Because remember, we're in a battle, but it's actually a war. In a war, what it matters is not a person who won a battle somewhere else. Maybe a battle in Witbank. If there's a war taking place in the whole of South Africa, if you can win Witbank and win and lose the whole war, you understand? So you might find that there will be some battles that you will lose. But because you are a believer, you will not give up. You will actually continue, march on, because God will come there, strengthen you, fortify you, so that you'll be able to go on into battle. Now you will realize now that while they were there, the children of Israel, there at the gates, at the junction between the wilderness and then the Canaan land, they did not believe. Now because they did not believe, God cast them out. But those that he adopted and took into the land, Caleb, Joshua, and everyone else who was below the age of 40. When they went into the land, they had crowns. They were given their places. That is why Joshua, Caleb, after almost 45 years, because they were almost in the wilderness for almost 40 years. And when he went into the land, I think he was around 45. When they went to spy into the land. When they went out there into Canaan land, he went then to Joshua, who was now the leader. Hallelujah. And he said to him, Joshua, remember the promises that God has made with me. May you please give me my land. You understand? May you please give me my crown, because I have not won. I have gone into battle. I've believed God's word, and I've now in God's land, the one that he promised me. Where is my crown? That's what he was asking for. Then he was given a mountain. Brethren, there is a significance to a mountain. If you are a child of God and you are on a mountain, if you are in battle, that is a strong area. It's almost a strong point. Anybody who is fighting from a mountain, everybody who's coming in the land trying to climb onto that mountain is at a disadvantage, because he doesn't have a clear view of what is happening up there in front. But you, as a believer, if you are on the mountaintop, you have a, that is why we have messages like mountaintop view. You have a view that is much better than the one who's down there in the land. You can actually go there if you have you are a sniper. See that one even before he comes. Take him out if he's an enemy. That is why now, as a believer, you've been given a mountain where you are safe. In a mountain, you are fortified, because it's not easy for the enemy to come and then go there and defeat you. That mountain is what? Christ. That is the mountain that we have here. When we are with in him, we are fortified. We are strengthened. We are safe, because he's the one protecting us. Now, when Caleb went there, he asked what? For his mountain. Hallelujah. So that is what he asked for. Hallelujah. So that was the reason he went into this battle. So it revealed him, and because he did believe the word of God, he was a person who believed God's word to the fullest, he received a crown. Now, that is what we, as children of God, in the end time, that is what we should do. Hallelujah. Now, you realize that we've read even another scripture. The scripture now is about the Laodicean church age. Now, you will realize that in that scripture, it talks about a person who is cold, who is neither cold nor hot, and then who God will wish that at least he was what? He was cold. He was at least cold or hot. Now, if you are cold or hot, that means you have made a decision. You've made a decision whether you're going to follow God or you are not going to do it. If you are lukewarm, you are in between. You are what? A make-believer. A person who is hot is the one who has accepted the word of God, and then what? He is hot for Christ. He is standing there for the cause of Christ. The one who's cold, he has rejected it. Now, you will realize that God here, when he's speaking here, Jesus Christ, when he's speaking here, is that because you are lukewarm, I will actually spew you out of my mouth. Because why? God hates a make-believer. Yes. Because God doesn't like pretension. You have to be what you are. That is why Brad Bremen said he doesn't like a person who comes and then try to be something that he isn't. If you are not a singer, well, don't try to sing, because you can't sing, like myself. I cannot sing. Amen. Yes, I can maybe make a loud noise, but I know that I cannot hold a note. Singers are the people who can hold a note. Now, do not pretend to be something that you are. That is on the physical side. That is on the natural side. The same thing applies to the spiritual. Each and every one of us has his places, is in place in the body of Christ. If you are part of the body of Christ, there is a place for you. There is nobody who's what? Useless, or who doesn't have a place, or who doesn't have a job, because God, each and every one of us, has assigned a spot. That is why they say others are teachers, others are pastors, prophets, and others are a lady. Lady is a church member who will come here, because they cannot be a preacher unless there is a person to be preached to. Now, we cannot all be pastors. Because who are you going to pastor if you are all pastors? You understand? There is a position and a place for each and every one of us. Amen. Now, you will realize that here, God was talking, Christ was talking about believers, make believers, and non-believers. Now he said, if you are lukewarm, you are almost the same as a person who's cold, because you are naked. The reason you are naked is because you want to ask to believe that you have Christ, but you doesn't have. So because you don't have Christ, you are actually naked, because Christ, the word, is your covering. Amen. Now, it is even worse if you pretend it. Now, I can tell you something now. You see, if you are a make-believer and then you come here, that means you are living, you are portraying something that you are not. Yes. Now, you find that when you are here, you are a child of God. When you go there, you are something else. Yes. You behave like the unbelievers out there. Now, if you are doing that, you find that there is a syllabus. For a child of God, there is a syllabus. For the unbeliever that side, there is a syllabus, a plan set by the devil that they have to follow. The same here, if you are a believer, there is a plan that God has set for you that you must follow. You understand? Now, you find that if you are in between, you will not master any of the plans. You find that you go to the world, you don't feed in, because they have to progress with their own things. The things that they do there, the dances that they do there, you cannot do it because you are not there partaking full time in it. Yes, but you try to partake sometimes. But even when you go there, you see, I know this one. Hey, brother, you are behind. You know, this dance, we don't do it anymore. This kwasa kwasa dance that you are doing is not the one that you are doing anymore. We have actually progressed. Maybe there is a toalaza or something that you are doing at that time. Now, because you have not been following the syllabus, you find that you don't fit anyway. You understand? Now, for you to fit in, you have to make a choice. Hallelujah. You have to make a choice where you fall into. Now, I'll tell you something. You see, me and my friend, yes, Busiso, he was born in the message. I came in the message, I think, by the time I came, I think I was 9, 10, 8, somewhere there. Yes. So, literally, we grew up in the message, all of us. Now, there was a time when we, in fact, let me read you a scripture so that we will understand what we're talking about. If we can just go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and read the third chapter. If you found it, it reads this way. This know also that in the last day, perilous times shall come. Now, these perilous times is the times that we're living in now. Yes. Hallelujah. How many believe that? Amen. Amen. Now, these are the perilous times, the one that we're in. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud. You can go even into the world now and see what is happening. People are proud. Proud of what? Of themselves. Not proud of God. Now, as a believer, you need to be proud of God. Take pride in his things. Yes. Now, if you do that, you find that in the world, you will be rejected. Yes. Because you will be backward. Because you will not be partaking in their own thing. Amen. Blasphemers. Now, we have people here who even call themselves atheists. That means those people don't even believe that God exists. You understand? Those are blasphemers. And there are those people who even believe in the devil, Satanists. Now, those people, they go and they blaspheme against God because they don't believe his word. And then we have disobedient to parents. I mean, you know that. Teenage delinquency, at the time that you are living in, is on the rise. It's on high. Now, don't you think that these are the times that Paul was talking to Timothy about? This is exactly the times. Now, he says, unthankful. That is another thing. People nowadays are unthankful. You find that you will do a thing to somebody, help them up, out, for them to say thank you. It's like if they say thank you, it's like they are glorifying you. They are uplifting you into something that you are not. Because people are what? Unthankful. How many people now can tell me, how many children out there are unthankful for their parents? Now, remember, the Word of God says it does not matter how much you can read. You can never be clever or have more wisdom than your parents. Because remember, your parents, even though they did not go to school, they had to have a wisdom to raise you up. If you are a woman looking as good looking as Brother Grace here, there is a parent behind you who raised you, who made sure that when you were sick, he looked after you. When you were sick, he will use their last cent to take you to a doctor to get medicine, to even drive it home. When you were a child who came here, took his time to come to you, to take you to church, parents. Now, that is why, as a child of God, you should honor your parents. Now, believers, listen. It doesn't mean parents who are in the message, no. Even parents out there who don't know the message, because they raised you up. The life that came out of them, even though they were unbelievers. Remember, if you are a woman is pregnant, Satan cannot give life. No, Satan cannot create life. The only person who can create is God. Now, that means even though your parents were not believers, they had to give you, they had to give birth to you. And that was God's process taking place to bring you here on earth. You understand? So you should be thankful, grateful, obedient to them. Yes. Now, I remember, I think a few weeks back, I was not here at the service. I actually went to my wife's cousin's funeral. Now, I had an opportunity to speak with the old man after the sister had passed away. Sister Maggie, maybe some of you know her. Yes. Where she was living, her parents were apostolic. In fact, her father was a priest in these apostolic churches. Yes. But because of the way her child was living, he allowed the believers to come and bury her daughter, even though he was a pastor himself. Now, because he said, I saw something in my child, he laughed God. That means this church was going to hurt something. Because after he went to this church, he changed. He you could see how he loved it. He committed her life to it. And then even me as a parent, your parents knows you. You cannot fool your parents. If you are going to church and then you are not saved, they will know it. They will know it right away that, brother, no. What church do you go to? Message church. Hey, this church here, no, I know. Because you are not displaying the qualities of that church that you're going to. Now, because she was displaying, even her parents could still know, there was something in that church. That means because the qualities she displayed before she went into that church and the qualities she displayed after she believed and became a message believer was quite different. You understand? That is why she said, even myself, I could not allow my child not to have a farewell with the people that she loved. Because she could see, what? A change in her daughter's life. You understand? Now, as a believer, for you to be able to win over your parents, you must live this message life to the fullest. You must be true to this message. You understand? You must display the fruits of this message. Remember the word says, by their fruits, ye shall know them. But nothing else, not by your confession of your mouth, but by the fruits on display out there in the world. My brother, I can tell you, if you are in your workplace, the people you are working with knows exactly whether you are a child of God or not. Oh, you can, angry you are a make-believer. You can come here, fool us. Come here, sing, be holy. But they know. You are children. They know if you are a believer or not. Your wife knows if you are a believer or not. Your husband knows if you are a believer or not. Because those are people who, these fruits. Remember, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Christ. Now, that means you must display him. If you don't display him, the people out there will know. Because you will be displaying something else. Now, let's go on with our reading because I want to show you something here. Now he says, unthankful, unholy. Amen. Without a natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. You know what does incontinent mean? An incontinent person is a person who can just do anything. That person doesn't have valves. Because if you are incontinent, it means that some of your valves are not working. You have no control. You have no self-control. Now, before we go on, I want to read you a quotation about the super sense. Why the super sense was given to you. If we can just open the message, the super sense, and then you will we'll read paragraph, I think it is paragraph 63. Yes, he says, what is the sixth sense to do then, Brother Branham? Why do the sixth sense come? The sixth sense come for this reason. Now the sixth sense is the faith. I think we've already discussed that. Now, if the sixth sense come from this for this reason only, that was to make the five senses. The five senses are the sense of touch, smell, taste, hearing, and sight. Is to make those five senses deny anything that is contrary to God's word. It seems like believers, you don't get this one. Do you get it? The sixth sense, the super sense, faith is to have, this is what we say, faith has control over the spirit and the body. Faith was to make sure that the senses, touch, taste, smell, hearing, eyesight, conform or agree with the word of God. And then if there's anything that is contrary to the word of God, what will faith do? It will make the five senses to deny it. Now, if a person is incontinent, has no control, that person doesn't have faith because the person cannot control those senses. You understand? For you to be continent, to have control, you actually have to have the super sense, the word of God, the Holy Spirit governing your life, making sure that the five senses that are in your body are under control. Yes. Now you find that is why now here Paul speaking to Timothy says, these people in the end time, they will be incontinent. Now that is not an attribute of a believer. It is an attribute of a make believer. It is an attribute of an unbeliever because the person doesn't have self-control. As a child of God, you must have control over your mouth. Have control over what you say. Yes, a child of God just doesn't blurt out and speak. Each and everything that he speaks has a purpose. The purpose is only one, is to build, to edify, to uplift. If you are down, you go to the sister next door, who's a sister in the message, they will uplift you. Not bring you down, because words have power. And the words, remember, believers, your words are life. If you are a parent, and then you have children, and then they don't obey, and then your words to them is to, I'm just searching for the word. Your words towards them is not encouraging, is to condemn them. You actually keep on condemning your child. Do you know that because your words are alive, if you are a child, you say you are a child, you are lazy. Because your words are alive, that thing has an effect. It has a life on your child. So don't wonder when the child is really actually lazy. If you say, hey, you can, you don't know how to say, but you, hey, you can, you are naughty, the child will actually adopt that because those words of yours, which are alive, they go there and you find a place in her. And they form a seed. That seed grows up. You know when I was trying. That word will find a seed. You understand? That is why we say you are what you say and what you believe. Even yourself, even if you find that you are discouraged, you are depressed, and you keep on believing it, that belief has a place in your heart, in your body. It will take effect. But the moment you go there and don't believe it, you cast that idea, that thought out, you'll find that the depression goes over. You understand? You find that there is a new life coming into you. You understand? Because it is a state of mind. Remember what we said. The sixth sense had to make the five sense deny anything that is contrary to God's word. How does it do that? You have the sixth sense in your soul. Its power goes into your spirit, goes into your senses. You understand? It goes there and it conforms those five senses to believe one, God's word. Remember, God's word is what? It's positive. Yes. Now, anything that is negative doesn't have a place in the soul. And then now, because the soul is light, it is putting a light of God in your body. That is why you find light. You feel light in your body as well. Because now, this sixth sense, the faith, the Holy Spirit, the word of God, had taken effect. And what is it? It has neutralized the five senses. It has neutralized every negative thing that God, negative thought, negative ideas that God has to place on you. That is why we say a child of God is continent, has control, but it's not the control of the body control. It's the control from the supernatural man, exerting it on the natural man. You understand? Now, that is why we say a child of God has what? Is continent. Now, we say these people will be fierce, despisers of those that are good. Brethren, you are as good as the company that you keep. If you despise good people, you are not found in the company of good people. You are found in a company of evil mongers. Best of a flock, of a same feather, flock together. How can you say you don't agree with them while you are with them? Yeah. Well, if you are a child of God, we don't say don't go to the people of the world. Go there to influence. Go there to take charge. Yeah. Agree you are a child of God. Right. Now you go there, you exert your influence on them. But if a person is an unbeliever, he doesn't want to believe, why are you still hanging with them? What is it about this person that is attracting you to their life? What is it? You understand? Unless you are partakers of their own, the same doing that they are doing. You understand? So, despisers of those that are good. As a child of God, you are a lover of those that are good. Remember, Christ is love. And then the love of God, when you have it, we know it. Yes, if you are a sister and you love God, you will love his people. And then I remember that not long ago, I preached about Stephen. I showed you that Stephen, the reason he was translated, he saw heaven open. Even when the Israelites were stoning him, was because even when they were stoning him, he says, Father, forgive them, because they did not know what they are doing. Amen. Even when being attacked, he was displaying what? Love. Now, that shows that Stephen was what? A child of God. He was a believer. He believed what? The word of God. You understand? Now, the challenge for a child of God is to love even those that do not love you. I can tell you, it is easy for me to love my wife. And she loves me. That is easy. It is easy for me to love my children. Every time I come from work, they run after me, showing love. But it is not easy to love somebody who doesn't love you. You understand? Yes. It takes courage. It takes effort. Amen. Hallelujah. But that effort, that courage should come from what? The inside man. The supernatural. You, on your own, you can't do it. No, you can't. You can try. You will fail. Because You are flesh. You are the terrestrial body. You have to let the celestial body, the supernatural man inside of you, take a lead in your life. Then you will see your life will change for the better. Now, I was busy talking about me and my friend here before I forgot. Now, when we're growing up, you know you're in the message. You have to conform to the message. You have to live as your parents tell you. It doesn't mean that parents, you should not lead your children. No, you should. But your children has to be saved. You understand? Yes. We used to, as a sister, wear long dresses. It was not from us. The parents will tell you, hey, you're going to do it. You are not going to church with that dress. Take that dress off. Go to church. This is the right dress. You understand? We knew how to behave. Not because it came from us. It was the instruction of the parents. Do you see why you should love your parents? Yes, they brought us up. Ultimately, we grew up. Now, I'm coming to the last statement here. I'm going to jump to verse 5 because that's the point I want to bring home. Having a form of godliness. That is what I want to talk about now. Now, when we grew up, we develop a form of godliness because this thing were put on us. We did not believe it. I can actually now tell you the day and the time when I was saved. When I went to the pastor, cried my heart out, confessed every wrong thing that I did. You understand? That's when I was saved. Before then, I was what? Having a form of godliness. You understand? Denying the power of it. You understand? Because for you to have real godliness, the sixth virtue, you have to be saved. That is why, as a parent, bringing your children into the service, you pray real hard that they hear the word. The word has an effect on them. It touches that inside man inside of them so that they be saved. Because if they're not saved, next time they will prove you. You know what she will do? She will go into a friend's house, take off that long dress, put a trouser, go to the mall. Now you'll be there at the mall. Sister Lorraine, is that Brother Mthabi's child? Hey, man. Now she'll be busy there trying to hide. It is having a form of godliness. I don't know if my friend Dipadi is here. I don't see him. One day, me and him, there was a brother we went to see. Now, this brother, we went into a filling station. So he was there walking around. Now, when he was walking, I did not know if there was a wind blowing him this way or that way, or if one of his legs was injured. I wasn't sure what was happening. So I said, hey, Dipadi, let's go closer and let's see what's happening there. Hey, brother. Immediately he saw us. His walk changed. That wind stopped to flow. That painful leg became well. And he was like, hey, shalom, brothers. You see, if you have a walk for Sunday, amen. I don't mean it as a joke, but if you have a walk for Sunday and have a walk when you leave church and have a walk during the week, my friend, you are not saved. You need Jesus. You have a form of godliness, but you don't actually have Christ. You understand? If you are a sister and then you have a boyfriend, I can tell you now, you are not saved. You have a form of godliness. You need what? Christ. If you are a brother, you have a boyfriend. Mara, you know the times we are living in. Those things, they happen. But if you have a girlfriend, you are not saved. You have a form of godliness. You actually need what? Christ. You understand? Because a form of godliness is what? Coming here. Hey, yeah. You realize that those people, when they come here, even some of us, we feel like we are not churchgoers because they are so humble. You know how the Pope is pious? They come here, with a form of godliness. Brother, it is a make-believe. You are just lukewarm. You need Christ. Hallelujah. You need him to change you, to give you real godliness. You understand? All you are having is a form of it. You understand? Now, I can tell you, if you are a sister and you have a dress for Sunday and a short dress for the during the week, you are not saved. You have all you have is a form of godliness. You see, us, because I can say I'm saved, I know. You cannot fool me. We know those things. We did those things. Yes, because when we were children, we had to be saved, to be really saved. No pretension. You understand? So if you are have a form of godliness, you need to cast it out. Cast it aside. You are wasting your time. You understand? You are coming here making an effort while you are not something that you on effort on something that you are not. It's a waste of your time. Go there, live there your life. Either be hot or be cold. Be what you are. Now, by saying that, parents, your children, as long as he's in your roof, the pastor said it last week, your child has to come to church. Yes. Even if she tries to play cold, you can strike a beast, she'll be hot to come to church. Yes. Yes, because you are a leader. You understand? I do not know if my children are saved or not, but I believe, like Job of old, that my children will see God, they will go into rapture. I will not rest. I will not stop to pursue them. My parents never stopped to pursue me. That is why I'm here. I can preach to you. Because I've been pursued. But the person who can pursue you the most is Christ. Hallelujah. You understand? Christ is pursuing you. That is why now, if we go into the church, into the Laodicean church, he says, I stand at the door and knock. You know what it means? It means now you have closed Christ outside. Because you are his child, he's knocking, looking forward to coming into you, to dine with you, to guide you, to love you. Allow Christ to love you. Accept him as your personal savior. You understand? Go there and believe him. Hallelujah. So now, if you are a parent, your children should come to church. Because church is where you get saved. Yes, a church won't save you. Yes, but when you come here, you will meet a savior. The word. When we preach the word, there will be a seed that will be planted in you. That seed, if it will find a place, it means you are a predestinated child of God. You will do what? You will come, accept this message, live with it. Hallelujah. Now, you need to change. You understand? Now, you cannot be lukewarm. You cannot have a form of godliness. Amen. Now, it says, if we go back to verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hey. Now he's speaking to Timothy here. From such, turn away. Yes. My sister, my brothers. From such, turn away. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know the reason why we have so many casualties in church is because people, they have clinged onto wrong people, have wrong influences. You understand? Now, let me tell you. Even the display that you display, né? It shows the display of the inside man. Those fruit that you're going to bear, they show where your influence is coming from. Either from beneath, which is from the devil, or from above, which is Christ. Now, you need to cling onto God so that he will influence your life. He will take a lead in what? In your life. I expect an amen. Amen. Do you want Christ to take a lead in your life? Then you need to follow this message. This message is wonderful. It has everything that you have need of. Yes, it is wonderful. That is why some of us, we could not go away from it. Even though we tried to move away from it, Every time our hearts was in it, because something touched us. Now remember, there was a woman who touched Christ. That was a believer, because she had what we call perfect faith. Now, you have to have perfect in faith in Christ to believe that he will take you through, to believe that he will conquer for you. She came there, she had an issue of blood. Now, she went there and she said in her heart, if I can just touch the rim of his garment. This problem, I've been to many doctors with, who could just not help me, it will stop. That is the perfect faith that she displayed there. She was a believer. Then when she touched him, everything that she had, that issue of blood, what did it do? It stopped. You know what she did? After she did that, she took a virtue from Christ. Because Christ was saying, I perceived that I have lost some virtue. Somebody has touched me. You know Peter, as Peter is, how Christ. With so many people around you, how can you say, people are just surrounding you. Why do you say, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. But because she touched him from their heart. Touch Christ from your heart. And see if your life situation will not change. You understand? Try him. You know, Christ says in Malachi, try me with tithes and offerings. In fact, try Christ with everything, yes, to see if he will not open the windows of heaven and bless you. Touch him. Try him. He will prevail for you. Hallelujah. Now, you will realize now that there was Peter as well. Now, one day there was a storm, and it seems like Christ had left the ship. And then while there was a storm, everybody started looking for Christ. Now, when Peter looked, Christ was coming, walking on top of the water. Now, Peter, at first they thought it was a ghost. Thinking it was a ghost, Peter went out and he said, Christ, if it be you, may you please bid me to come so that I will meet you. Yes. And he said, come. Now, Peter had faith. He had what we call perfect faith. He went into the water. His eyes was fixed on what? What was he fixed on? Fix your eyes, fix your life, fix it on Christ. Hallelujah. Then you'll see each and everything that you want, each and everything that you wish for will come true. If you just fix your eyes on him. Now, while he was there walking on top of the water, a distraction came. There was a wave that came towards him. Now, he lost the focus of Christ. Took his attention from Christ, concentrated on the wave that was coming. But my brother, my sister, if you have a storm in your life, don't lose focus of Jesus. You know, don't lose your vision of Christ. Every day, make sure you are fixated on him. Every day, read the scriptures. You know, read. You know, when Brother Branham was here on earth, God told him that store up the food. Yeah. And then, I don't know who the pastor was. I think it was Pastor Chisholm. He says, for you to go into rapture, you will need those 1,100 and something messages that Brother Branham preached. You will need each and every chapter that is in this book. You will need each and every sermon coming from this pulpit for you to make it true. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Christ. Then you will see, you will make it through. Now, Peter lost his focus, lost his vision of Christ. Fixed his eyes on the storm. On what? On the wave. You know what happened to him? How many knew what happened to him? He started to sink. My brother, my sister, if you lose your focus, your vision of Jesus, you will sink. Yes, you will sink and be destroyed and be annihilated because you have lost a vision of him. You understand? Because his vision, his focus, the view you are having of him is what's going to send you through. It's what's going to put you through into that promised land so that you will be like Caleb and Joshua. You can say, give me my mountain. Give me my crown. You understand? Only if you don't lose a vision of him. You understand? Now, you must have faith in him. It doesn't matter what situation you're going through. You must have faith that he will pull you through. You know, the word of God, if you read in Romans, it says, trials bring experience. They bring hope. You understand? Now, if you go through trial, you'll never have experience until you go through a trial. Because when you have gone through it, you can actually guide the next person. That is why I'm guiding you. Don't have a form of godliness. Yes. It is dangerous. Because sometimes, some of us, we are like we are here. Sometimes the world can swallow you and you can't even find your way back here. You can be lost forever. You understand? Now have your vision of Christ. Don't lose it. Believe in him. He will see you through. Hallelujah. Now we had Abraham. There are so many characters that I can go through who had faith in Christ. You understand? You see, the thing that God said to Abraham, it is unbelievable. You had a wife from your teens being together, you don't have a child. Then when you are 75 years, he comes and say, I will give you a child. You and your wife, you shall have a child. Now, 25 years later, it is still the same thing. Now, the word of God just tells us that Abraham's faith never wavered. It held fast onto the God's promises. You understand? It does not matter what you've asked from Christ. How long it might take, just believe it. Just hold on to it. Our patriarch Abraham, he never lost that focus. His faith never wavered, even after 25 years. Amen. What more of us? You are sick? Yes, we can come. We can pray for you. You understand? When we pray for you, you can be healed now. You can be healed tomorrow. You can be healed in the next week. But never stop to confess your healing. Hallelujah. Because I remember what I said. The words that you say, if you believe them, they will come true. If you believe you have a tumor, Brother Bram prayed for people. You know, some of the people he prayed for, he prayed for one gentleman, and the next day the gentleman was there, saying, ah, I've been alive yet, what you've been doing to these people, praying for them, getting sick. But I'm still not healed. And he said, oh, what are you still doing here? The reason he said to him, why are you still doing here? And then why? And he said again to him, but you said you believed. It's because prayer, if it will depend on your faith. You understand? A prayer has to contact something inside of you to make your situation dissolve, even if it's a bad situation, to make your situation come true. If it's a good situation, you have to believe. Now, Abraham believed. His faith never wavered. He continued to believe through and through until the son came. You understand? After 25 years. Now, even you, my sister, it does not matter what is it that you need. As long as you believe, it will come true. And then my last point here is that you need to demonstrate Christ. Your life, that is why we say, by your fruit you shall know. Your life must be a demonstration of Christ. True and true. All the time. You know, I was listening to a memorial service for Brother Branham. Now, while listening there, speakers after speaker came and then they spoke to him. They spoke about him. And then I think that the sermon there was preached by Brother Osborne. Yes, he's the one who preached in that memorial service. The one thing that struck me was that each speaker after speaker, the one thing they said about Brother Branham was that his life was a demonstration. You know what was he demonstrating the whole time? Who was he demonstrating the whole time? People who know. It was a demonstration of Christ. Yes. Now, that is a duty of each and every believer. To demonstrate him. Because if you demonstrate him, he will come true for you. Yes. Hallelujah. It is so obvious. If you are faithful to Christ, he will do what? He will be faithful to you. But you have to demonstrate him and be faithful to his word and follow it. You understand? And then now, the word of God says now, the reason you cannot be an unbeliever or a make-believer is because as long as your life condemns you, there is nothing of the promises of God that you're going to get. Now, I'm going to give you a testimony just to show you what happens when your life does not condemn you. You can actually ask for anything from, you know, condemnation. If you don't live a Christian life, a true Christian life, that life condemns you. The word of God, when you come here, it condemns you because you are not right. For you to enjoy the fruits of this message, you have to live right. Live it to the fullest. You understand? Now, one day I was with my wife, and then we were coming from the pastor. It was late. And my child, the young one, started being sick. All of a sudden, he threw up. He just continued to throw up. Yeah, you might say, my brother, you are a doctor. I can't tell you what happened. No. We were moving, going home. He just kept on throwing up. We reached Hendrena, which is just halfway between here, almost halfway between here, Middleback and Emel. It is just 50 kilometers on the spot there. He became so sick. I was driving. My wife, I could hear it in her voice. She just said to me, do something. I don't know what happened. I had to pull down. Then she just gave me the child. The child was like weak. His eyes was sunken. You know, you will be a child can just get dehydrated like that. He was almost going into shock. The nearest hospital was 50 kilometers away. Either side, I could have decided to go to Middleback. It is 50 kilometers. I can go to Emelo. It is 50 kilometers. Now, here is a call now. Do something. I don't know whether she was talking to me as a brother or maybe as a doctor. I'm not sure. But I had to do something right there at the spot. So I took the child, prayed. I can tell you, there was no way the child was going to reach either spot. And now, yes, he needed the drip. I didn't have a drip. What did I have? I had his word. That's the only thing I had at that moment. I had to demonstrate his word now, because now it's a matter of life and death. Now I prayed. I don't know what came into me. I was not afraid. Well, I should have been afraid. I wasn't. I just prayed. And then I said, God, preserve the life of this child as we're going to go there. And then I just heal him, make him well. Then I took the child and I gave it to my mother and we drove. The child made it. In fact, we weren't even going home. And then after we dropped the other kids, then I went to my practice. Then I put a drip on him. Then I ran it the whole night. He was still dehydrated, but he was breathing okay. Yes, he had sunken eyes, but prayer sustained him. Now, I did not sustain him. Please, don't come bringing. I don't do that. It is Christ who did it. Yes. I call out to him. You understand? And then he answered. You understand? Then he preserved the life of the child. Now, how can you leave such a God? Yes. You know, I've seen many children come into my practice. I had to resuscitate them. I know what it is. Sometimes we have to squeeze the drip to go into the child the way it's ordered. Because the only thing making the child not to have a cardiac arrest, the child not to pass away, is fluid. And because he's so young, you know, as a child, you can throw up. But a child, if they can throw up 5-10 times, every fluid that is in their body is out. That child needs a doctor. You know whose doctor does he need? Christ. Hallelujah. Now he came and prevailed for us. Now you see, If you are faithful to him, he will be faithful to you. If you demonstrate him, he will not let you down. Hallelujah. Now you need to believe on him. Now, as you are in these gates, there are people, like I said, we are in the gates, in the junction of time. There are people who are being taken into the capstone to be with Christ. Are you one of those people? Do you want to be one of those people? Or do you want to be likened as the church in Laodicea? Brethren, let me tell you, the bride is out of the church of Laodicea. The bride is no longer in Laodicea because he's been taken into Christ. The marriage ceremony has taken place. He has won with Christ. That is why even before we had a saying that we are him. That is why we are him, because what? The seventh seal has been opened, revealed. The power of the third pool has been demonstrated. Now for you to be partakers of that, you need to do what? Move over. Accept Christ as your personal savior. You understand? Go through the process. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You understand? Then you can be there, be one. Remember, Christ is the head. We are the body. The capstone and the body has become one. Hallelujah. Now, for you to be one of them. You know, there is a song that says, I'm glad I'm one of them. For you to be one of them, that's the process. There is no other way for you to be one of them. You need to believe him. You need to live him. You need to demonstrate him. You need to listen to him. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. You need to listen to this word to become the word. Hallelujah. So that you will demonstrate the word. You understand? It is only the word that can believe the word. If you are the word, then these words for you are life. Just like Christ says, I'm life. You understand? I'm the fountain of life. I am the bread of life. You need to do what? Feast on him. Hallelujah. For him to have an effect on your life, you need to feast on him. That is why when you read John chapter 6, that is where you could see the believers, make believers, and unbelievers. Peter, a believer, he said what? Christ, where can we go? Because you have the words of life. My brother, Christ has the words of life. Because remember, he went there, Christ, and he started demonstrating. You know, that is why we say Brother Brahm was the demonstration of Christ. Because his life displayed Christ at his fullest. Hallelujah. Now he started demonstrating. There was a bread, and there's some few, five breads, I think, and five fishes or something. He fed thousands of people. Now, because people did not see what Christ was trying to demonstrate, they thought, they wanted to make him a king. Yes. So he went into the other side of the river. Alone, and the disciples followed him. Yes. Now, when the people woke up in the morning, they realized, these people have left us. Oh, what? This kingdom is nice. There is food every day. We don't have to work anymore. He's just going to make food for us for the rest of your life. We are going to follow him. They followed him. Now, when they got there, he says, what are you guys looking for? Says, no, we woke up and you were not there, and we said maybe we should follow you. Yes, you are the savior, you had a lot of lords. Yes, there is no king like you. Praise be the name of your Lord. You know, they praised him. I mean, how can you not praise a person who's just fed you? They praised him just because of that. Now he turned on them. And he says, okay, I come from God. Yeah? You come from God? Yes, I come from God. And I go back to God. Amen. Mother, we know you. Agar, we know your father is Joseph and your mother is Mary. Now, how can you come to us and say you come from God? How can you say that? Others left. Now, that was the unbeliever. He just left. There was still a group. Remember, he had the 70 and the 12. Now, he said, unless you people feed on me, on my flesh. And unless you drink my blood, you will not be partakers in the kingdom of God. The 70 said, no ways. Now you don't want to give us bread. Now you want us to feed on your flesh and your blood. What type of a religion is this? This is blasphemy. They left them. Now the make believers were out. Now Peter, a believer. Oh, wow, my. A wonderful type of a believer. He said, you 12, why are you still here? Why are you still standing? He says, Christ, where can we go? Because the words of life are in you. Where else can we go? He did not understand. You know, sometimes, my brother, he did not understand what feeding on his flesh, feeding on his blood. He did not understand what that meant. But because he was a believer, he just believed. Sometimes, my brother, I can tell you, just believe him anyway. Even if you don't believe, you don't understand, just believe him. Believe him at his word. Then he will take you through. You might be going through a situation you don't even understand. But if you just believe it, that he will take you through, he will. I think that will be all. If we can just stand up. Amen. So you see, my brother, only if you believe. Because everything that is there in your life, everything that has been made on this earth, even Christ, even God, when he created the heavens and the earth, for him to create it, he had to believe his own word. Understand? When he said, let there be light, he had to believe it. Even yourself, you have to believe him. Because we just told you, he is the bread of life. The bread is his word. His blood is the Holy Spirit that will sustain you through the journey that you are going through. You cannot depend on anything else except those two. His word and the Holy Spirit. And faith in all of those things. Faith in his words. Faith in the Bible. Faith in the messages of the prophet. Faith in the sermons that are preached here. Then you will be sustained. Yes. Hallelujah. If you can just sing a song, a nice worship song. Hallelujah.
Here we stand, we proclaim victory. We depend.
Going to go through has to be from inside of that throne. Now, where is it? In you. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, we depend from power from the one that is inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We can sing another one, and then from there, I will just ask our deacon brother Ben to come and wrap everything in prayer. Hallelujah.
I need your touch.
I need your touch. gracious eternal Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once more, Heavenly Father, as we invited thee when we came here, Almighty God, that you come and speak to our hearts, Heavenly Father. We want to say thank you, Almighty God. Heavenly Father, may you come once more as we depart from this place, Heavenly Father. Each and every one of us, you know our needs, Heavenly Father. Mighty God, we say, Heavenly Father, those who came here sick, let it not be the same, but the preaching of the word, Heavenly Father, let them feel that they are healed, Almighty God. Heavenly Father, those who came here not knowing as their personal Savior, Heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you may keep on, Heavenly Father, preaching to your hearts, Almighty God, that we may keep on meditating upon your word, Heavenly Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Heavenly Father. You are the God, Heavenly Father, that you said, try me, Heavenly Father. And if I once more, we say this afternoon, Heavenly Father, let us know that whatever that we believe in thee, Heavenly Father, it shall be given, Heavenly Father. Whatever that we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall be granted unto us, Heavenly Father. Bless the saints, Heavenly Father. You know their needs, Almighty God. May you provide to them, Heavenly Father, abundantly, Almighty God. Even the virtue that has gone out of our dear precious brother, Heavenly Father, we say restore, Heavenly Father. Keep on, Heavenly Father, revealing yourself, Almighty God, that he may come and feed us, Heavenly Father, as thy sheep, Almighty God. Bless each and everyone. We pray, Heavenly Father, here. We say, Heavenly Father, bless us once more, Heavenly Father. We know, Almighty God, that we are on a battleground, Heavenly Father, that the devil is fighting, Heavenly Father, but we know that the Creator is thee, Heavenly Father, that you overcame in heaven, Heavenly Father. You'll overcome him here, Heavenly Father, as the word says, you'll overcome him under any circumstances, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless us once more, Heavenly Father, as we depart, Heavenly Father. We are asking for a traveling mercy. We commit everything in our lives in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all the church shall say.
Amen. We can just sing a nice chorus. Yes, our brother, if you can just and just praise him. Amen.
Sawubona Jesu, siyabulela,
sithi bayethe
kunyama Jesu. Sawubona Jesu, sina siyabubingelela,
sithi
bayethe Sawubona Jesu, sina siyabubingelela, sithimba
Yeah.
Yeah.